May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You alone are our strength, our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to bring up a subject we'd all rather not talk or think about, especially this close to Christmas. So forgive me straight up, forgive me for messing with the joy that's in the air this time of year. I'm certain that some of you will think I'm a real killjoy, dulling down the otherwise happy-clappy hype of the season, as it seems everybody gets into the countdown to Christmas. I got another countdown, and it's not the one that hammers you with a reminder of how many shopping days you have left to spend. We need to talk. We need to talk about this subject, even though none of us really wants to, though all of us find ourselves thinking about it just about every time we hear the news or read the news. Random shootings, ISIS militants, beheadings in the name of Allah, transgender locker rooms and bathrooms, human trafficking, the outright murder by the millions of innocent children still in the wombs and then selling their body parts, horrific tornadoes and mudslides and droughts and earthquakes, terror and chaos, and government leaders here at home and all over the globe who pursue anything but what is God-pleasing and truly good for their fellow citizens. We hear the news, and the subject we'd rather not think and talk about, nonetheless, comes out from the dark corners of our minds and our hearts, and it whispers its brutal truth. The end of the world is coming. Jesus will return with his power and his glory to judge the world. And I tell you, the signs of this are everywhere. We are spiraling ever downward, closer and closer to the end. We need to talk about this. And Advent is intended for this. It's the time that the church through the ages has set aside to talk about and prepare for the glorious coming of Christ the Lord in all his great power and might. That great wrap-up, his coming to judge the living and the dead. Through his word, God wants us to be ready for this. We know not the day nor the hour, but nonetheless we need to know it's coming. Like a thief in the night, it's coming, no one suspecting, but we need to be expecting. And the Lord gets us ready for his great and final coming in glory by pulling our self-infatuated gaze away from our own navels and all that we find so appealing and so time-consuming. He turns our heads away from all the things that the world around us wants us to look at. He shuts our ears to the music blaring mindlessly in stores so that we can listen in faith to his voice, to his word. I suspect the reason we don't want to talk about the end and what the Bible often calls the day of the Lord is because it is, first of all, a day of wrath and judgment. In other words, it's not a pretty picture. It's not some pleasant jingle bells topic. But then again, neither is our sin, our prideful rebellion against the God who gave us life in his perfectly created world. What What a broken, twisted mess we have made of things. Everything. Because we think we know better than God, that our ways are surely better than His ways. Oh, I ask you, what of this life has our sin not fouled up? Perhaps no writer of the Scriptures exposes that sin and the judgment sure to come better than the Old Testament prophet Zephaniah. Quite frankly, the theme of Judgment Day dominates his prophecy. A day of wrath is coming, proclaims Zephaniah. God is going to unleash 200-proof punishment. So shut up before me, says God, right at the get-go of Zephaniah's prophecy. Be silent. God is planning on cleaning house, beginning first with His people, His beloved Judah, but going right on from there. No one will escape His judgment. So, says Zephaniah in the opening volley of his prophecy, words that I'm going to quote, "The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring distress upon mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of His jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed, for a full and sudden end He will make of all of the inhabitants of the earth." There you have the words of Zephaniah. See why this is a subject we don't like to think or talk about, especially at this time of year, so close to Christmas. But the truth is, and Zephaniah proclaims it loudly, Christmas enables us to think and to talk about this great, awesome day of the Lord. For not only is the day of the Lord a day of wrath and judgment, it's also a day of rescue and restoration. Just as God raised up from the dust His fallen people, Judah, so out of the ash heap of our sin does He raise us up. And He restores us as His dear and beloved people, ever precious in His sight. All this and more God does through a baby. The baby of Bethlehem, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and named Jesus. Writes Zephaniah, "The Lord has taken away the judgments against you and has cleared away your enemies." That's none other than the gift of Christmas, namely that the very Son of God Himself has come in human flesh and blood to do battle with absolutely every last one of our enemies. Jesus comes into this broken, messed up world to fight against the very one who brought death and destruction into our lives in the first place. He came to be tempted as we are, yet to stand fast in faithfulness and in obedience to His Father. I'll tell you this, Satan doesn't stand a chance when the head crusher moves in. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Do Did you hear that? The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. And if he has taken them away from you, where have they gone? Where has he put them? Well, look again at the baby in the manger become a man beaten and bloodied and nailed to a cross. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What'd you get for Christmas? People will be asking you in a couple of weeks. Zephaniah's message to you might be in the answer to a different question. What didn't you get for Christmas? The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. And what's more, proclaims Zephaniah, the Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Let not your hands grow weak or hang limp. The Lord is mighty to save. What does this mean? It means that the God who has come for you and his beloved Son Jesus is the God who remains right at your side. He is not some kind of absent God ruling things from way out there via remote control, but he is Emmanuel, God with us, with you. And with me, a hands-on God who opened his hands to receive the nails of the cross, the punishment for our sins. He is with you always, never, ever does he leave your side. So don't let your hands hang limp, says Zephaniah. Don't be afraid of the dark. The light of the risen Christ shines in and through you, and that light cannot ever be put out. Even in the midst of a cruel and evil world with daily signs of the Lord's coming again, a day of wrath like none other, don't give up and don't give in. Don't drop your hands in your lap with a what's the use, I give up attitude. The Lord is with you. From crib to cross, from cradle to grave, and then on to eternity. He is with you all the days until the end of days, and then forever. So, be still, says the psalmist. Or in the words of Zephaniah, be silent before the Lord God. Be silent so that in the middle of all of the other racket going on out there and all of the racket going on in here during this Advent season, still you might be able to hear the voice of the Lord your God. Be silent. So you can hear him singing over you, writes Zephaniah in verse 17. The Lord will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. How like a loving parent does the Lord cradle you and quiet you with his tender love. And as a mom or dad, a grandpa or grandma sings a lullaby to a little one in their arms, so does God rejoice over you with singing. In fact, he delights in you. And not because you've been especially good this year, more nice than naughty. No, no. God delights in you because he sees you through his Son, Jesus, every day, every day. God sees you through the sacrifice, the righteousness, the fierce, unrelenting love of Jesus for you. God singing over you began one dark night over Bethlehem fields. The words went this way, peace on earth, goodwill to all. That song continued solo from a bloody cross in the darkness of a late Friday afternoon. It is finished. And in the early hours of a first day of the week morning, from the dark but empty hole of a grave, that song was carried on by an angel. He is not here. He is risen. Shh. Listen. Fear not, says the Lord Jesus, in the very last book of the Bible. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and hell, and I'm coming soon. So, what's left? Only the Lord doing for his people, says Zephaniah. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise. At that time I will bring you in and gather you together, and I will restore your fortunes. The great and awesome day of the Lord, the coming of our Lord in great power and glory, our rescue and our life. It's the one thing we need to be thinking about and talking about, not only now, but always. Because you see, we are, after all, Advent people. All the days, all the seasons of our life, we are always Advent people, eagerly awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always waiting and always praying, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all his understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto the day of his coming. Amen.